You may recall words earlier in the Gospel of John, where we read, there was a man whose name was John. That was John the Baptist as we know him, and he saw by faith that there was a glorious one coming whose sandal, he said, he was unworthy to untie. Untying a sandal was the lowest of the low form of service. It was dirty. It was humble. And he said, I'm not even worthy to do that. There was a man whose name was John. There was another man whose name was John, and one day he was captive on the Isle of Patmos. And we read of the glories that he saw in the presence of the Lord in the book of Revelation. And there was another man named John, captive. Bear with me, captive on the Isle of Lewis. There's nothing against the Isle of Lewis, but he was captive because he was, as Paul expressed it, in the body, this body of death. And he too, lately, reached the doorway of the presence of the Lord. And I do want to talk about him today. I want to talk about him because he was no one special. He would be the first to tell you that. Except that he was special because he put his trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. He belonged to Christ because he believed in him. He belonged to Christ, and so these words are true. He is with him where he is, with this Jesus. This John Campbell, was a church officer, which meant that he was literally a doorkeeper, a doorman, in a church building representative of the house of God. Psalm 84 that we began with, the song at his funeral. Psalm 84 says, I would prefer to keep a door in the house of God than to dwell in the tents of sin. John Campbell would happily be keeping that door that is open before him. But as we think of these things, think about him being there, a man who was with us not so long ago. How was it for him when he arrived just over a week ago? What did he see as he stepped into that door? Forget about Pete St. Peter at Pearly Gates. Yes, the gates are made of pearl, symbolically. He entered through Christ and in the name of Christ. And what did he see? What was there for him? What has he become? As we sang Psalm 84 a week ago, I couldn't help wondering, was he getting a guided tour? And what did he see? Isn't he a Christian believer now in his element, in that place that was made ready for him? Simply the place where Christ Jesus dwells. What does he see? Now I'm not just talking about him. I present him to you, and this transition, this entry into the presence of Christ, unhindered by this body of death, I set him before you as a way that is given to all who believe, but to no other. What's the change? What does he see? First, he has found that body of death is gone. No more. confusion, as Paul describes in Romans 7. He has found too that he has overcome. That was the word of the Lord to his churches, to his people in the churches in Revelation 2 and 3, to the one who overcomes. He is one who has, with Paul, 2 Timothy 4, fought the good fight, finished the race, kept the faith. He has overcome by faith. So what do we find in that overcoming? What does it mean for the one who has overcome? It means in Revelation 2, you might like to open there, and there's a couple of other passages in Revelation I would turn to this morning. Revelation chapter 2. And verse 7, first of all, to him who overcomes, I will give to eat from the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. The tree of life, which hasn't been seen since the Garden of Eden and man's fall in Genesis 3. I will give it to him to eat. Chapter 2, verse 11. He has no fear of being hurt by the second death. He has died once in the body, and the second death will not touch him. Chapter 2, 17. The overcomer, to him has been given some of the hidden manna to eat, the bread of life that came down from heaven. He has also been given his white stone. He has a white stone, and on that stone is a new name written that no one knows except him who receives it. It's entirely personal. It's perfectly apt for him in the Lord. 2:26 and 28. He has been given power over the nations, just as Christ had received from his Father, and he's been given the morning star, the light that is coming, the day that is dawning. Chapter 3, verse 5. He has overcome, so he is clothed in white garments. He knows that his name will not be blotted out from the book of life. And he knows that the Lord will confess and does confess his name before his Father and before his angels. Chapter 3, verse 12. What has he become? He has become a pillar in the temple of Christ's God and will go out no more. He's a living stone being built up, a temple in the temple of God. He will not be removed, but he will be part of the dwelling place of God. He finds further in that verse that he is written on him the name of Christ's God and the name of the city of his God, the New Jerusalem. Written on him, along with Christ's promise to write on him my new name. 3:21. Can you believe this? Christ has granted to him to sit with him on his throne. As Christ also overcame and sat down with his Father on the throne. His prayer was that his people would be with him where he is. John 17. Father, I desire that they also whom you gave me may be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which you have given me, for you loved me before the foundation of the world. It's a great pleasure that awaits God's people to be able at last to truly see the glory of Christ, because we are with him even on the throne, life hidden with God in Christ Jesus. Those things are his. They are his now. He will not fear the second death. It comes. This is before the second death. How are they his? How are these wonderful things his? The great glories of heaven, the perfections, how are they his? because he overcame, because he believed. He began believing and he continued believing. He kept believing. He kept the faith. He was not a perfect man, he would say it himself. None of us are. But he believed. Imperfectly too. But he believed in Christ Jesus. Nothing more, nothing less. This is his overcoming. And that place can be yours and mine in the way that he has appointed. I am the truth. I am the way, the truth, and the life. So these are the things he's become. These are the things that are given to him as he has already entered this place. And then there are more of the things that he sees, and I can't go through them all today. But you might go over to the last two chapters of the book of Revelation, and you see there that great city. We've already heard of that city and the name of the city. But some verses in Revelation 21 and 22, the sights that he sees. And some parts of it say from verse 10 of chapter 21. He showed me the great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God. Her light, the light of the city, was like a most precious stone, like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. She had a great and high wall with 12 gates and 12 angels at the gates, names written on them, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. There are the various gates. The walls of the city, verse 14, had 12 foundations. On them were the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. The measurements of the city that follow, it's a perfection. In verse 18, the construction of its wall was of jasper, and the city was pure gold, like clear glass. Never seen the like before. It's as though I can see him standing there, just stunned with the beauty that's before. And those things that he's read of, the tribes of Israel, right before him. The names of the apostles set before him, that foundation of the city. Yes, these are images. How can we describe these things? To try and bring us to the place of the great beauty. The 12 gates, verse 21, were 12 pearls. Each individual gate was one pearl. The street of the city was pure gold, like transparent glass. Verse 23, the city had no need of the sun or the moon to shine in it, because the glory of God illuminated it. The lamp is its light. The streets, pure gold, no litter, no nothing, nothing to defile. 21:27, nothing that defiles shall ever enter in. And all the scripture is pointing in this direction. We saw it with Numbers and people entering into the land that God would give them. Into chapter 22, even at the beginning, he showed me a pure river of water of life. That's described in physical terms. It would seem to be through the rest of scripture, especially relating to the Spirit, but free, offered out, giving life, clear as crystal, coming from the throne of God and of the Lamb. And do you realize what this means? That both, whether it's the no sun or moon, but it's the glory of God that shines, this river is pouring out from the throne of God and of the Lamb. It's not just the river, it's not just the light, it's not just the walls of the city, it's not the gold of the street. But in all of these things is God himself, the throne of God, and the Lamb on the throne. They're all there in that picture. Always there. It's not just the sights, the guided tour, but in the center of it all, giving life to it all, is that one whom he trusted. Though he could not see, yet he trusted. And now he sees him. You go back early in Revelation, and from chapter 5, you see the picture of the multitudes, the millions all around, focused on the throne, singing the praises of the Lamb and the throne. As he goes in there, he sees the people. Does he see old friends? Does he see some who are immediately friends, who he never knew before? All in Christ. Does he rejoice to see those great men and women of Scripture? So many that he used to so often speak of, that he looked up to. Does he meet them again? But every one of them looking somewhere else, to the one who saved them. When John Norman died, it was his hands I saw. Hard working hands. A servant's hands. He's at work too. I know it. He's at work. That's what is called for from God's people. He's a servant. And he delights in that service. Is he singing? He was a singer. What is he singing? Great harmony, unison, great power, the great glory that belongs to the one on the throne. And he knows it fully, truly. Folks, it's been a week for us since he was taken. I'm reminded of a verse that was added to John Newton's Amazing Grace, and it rings true. It's a week to us. What is it to him? We don't know. But him finishes, when we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, with no less days to sing God's praise than when we first began. Singing the praises of God, because he has seen, truly seen, the Lamb that was slain, who loved him and gave himself for him. He has seen the throne of grace where he went so often to find help, to pray. The sights that a simple believer, a man like us, sees, the things that are done to him, who he has become. Why have I told you about this man named John? Well, I wonder if I have, really. Because it's ultimately all about the Lord. That's what he himself would want you to know. I've taken you to the things that we have been told as to what is prepared for all who put their trust in the Lord Jesus. Just that. To enter in a small way, to think on what is received, what is prepared. What does Jesus mean by saying, I go to prepare a place for you? He means these things. He means a newness of life. He means an openness of eyes. He means an understanding of heart. He means a near presence given over to the service, utterly to the service and the praise of the one who has died for us. What do we think of when we think of dying to this life? Yes, we'll miss him. Many people will miss him. And when death comes to us, we do miss our loved ones. But I just want to tell you today that this man John, along with many others, this man John His life was taken from his body. He stepped into a new, a brilliant day. To see him in his last days, he would never be able to cope with that brilliant light and the glory of God, not in what he was. He would not be able to cope with the swelling hymns of praise, but he can. When the time came, he was transformed. He was made ready for the place that was made ready for him. And it seems that now he is strong, as he's never been before. He is safe in a way no world can provide. He's clean. And he's entirely well in the fullness of his being. The Hebrew shalom. And so he will go on serving with a new strength, with a new purpose. He'll go on with a heart bursting with love and with gratitude. The old version, metrical version of Psalm 84, I think, says he will withhold no good from them who live uprightly. He will not withhold himself, the source of all that is good. He's with his Saviour. As he took that step, his Saviour said, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your Lord, where there are joys and pleasures evermore." Because we can look on to the Saviour. That's where I want to be one day. And I so want you to be there too. How do we get there? There is one way, and it's wide open, through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Trust, believe, live in him, and you'll see something the like of which has never been told. No, John couldn't even tell it. When we use 10,000 words, this morning I've used maybe 1,000, 1,500 words, and we've used 10,000 words, we've scarcely begun to tell the picture. But he's seen it. Men of faith have seen it. Women of faith, children of faith. Don't let this world fill your eyes and your heart and your mind with secrets. Put your faith in him. Let this be God's word. May he bless it to us, each and every one. Let us pray together.